The Indian Mojo Show!
Hello, jacked up Indian Mojo Show listener. This week, we have a very special episode for you because it's only myself, Daniel, and Jack Gardner.
Yep.
We do not have Jeremy this week, Jack.
We don't. What are we going to do with just the jacked up indie show?
You know, the world said that we would be nothing without Jeremy. This week, we're going to prove them wrong.
Yeah. Take that, yeah. World.
Take that,
world. We're throwing down the gauntlet.
That's right. So, what you been up to this week? You've been YouTubing it up like I have.
Yeah, my friend Corey and I, we launched our YouTube channel called Digi Brothers. In the show, we just call ourselves the Digi Bros.
Digi Bros?
Yep. And basically, it's a Let's Play channel. We play through video games, and we're starting with Dark Souls. And pretty soon, if things go well, we might go... We're starting out with one video a week, and if things go well, we might go to two videos a week. And if that happens, then we'll probably have two different games that we'll put up videos for.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah, so we're starting with Dark Souls, and then the next game is a silly one that I'm sure people at Game Informer will recognize as it's become mildly prolific around these parts. But
Overblood.
Maybe. I can neither confirm nor deny. Yeah, it's Overblood. It's Overblood. But I have watched the Super Replay of Overblood, but yeah. I've also...
You make all the same jokes.
I've also completely forgotten everything that you have to do in order to proceed in that game. Which is great, because Corey's never seen the Overblood Super Replay.
Oh, perfect.
So, we have no... there are parts where we have no idea what we're doing. And, yeah, it's fun. We make things that are kind of like jokes. And, especially in Dark Souls, we try and understand what's going on.
Yeah. So here's my question. So Dark Souls is not a short game, and your episodes are about an hour.
Yep.
And you're going to do one a week. So you're going to be doing Dark Souls for the next year.
Well, we're actually making pretty good progress through the game. I think we're maybe 8 episodes in, and we've already beaten maybe the third boss. It's hard to tell with Dark Souls, because you can kind of go anywhere, but I think it's the third boss.
Okay.
And so we're making good progress, and we're not getting stuck in any one place for too long, I don't think.
That's good.
I think we're making good progress in every single episode. That's our goal.
You came through on the first episode, killing that giant ogre thing.
The
asylum.
Yeah, the asylum demon. Yeah.
Yeah, the asylum demon. It looks like an ogre, whatever it was.
Yeah, I don't really know what the things in Dark Souls are. I don't think Dark Souls knows what the things in Dark Souls are.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think I've killed every one of the major bosses so far.
Well, you're a professional.
I am a professional, but Corey also has had his fair share of victories that I could not rise to the occasion to defeat.
All right.
And I've been informed by a third party that has seen our gameplay or been told of our gameplay that we make several just hugely terrible decisions throughout our gameplay so far. So we're going to see how things go.
So those are possible, like, things that will force you to have to redo everything?
No, it's just going to make things harder. Like, I think one of our biggest mistakes so far is we accidentally thought that a shopkeeper was evil. We didn't know that he sold items, and so we tried to kill him, and then he defended himself and tried to kill us right back, and it basically became almost a boss encounter that we didn't really need to fight, and if we hadn't fought it, would have probably gone a lot better for us.
Wow. Yeah. So will he still sell you stuff?
No, because he's dead.
Oh my gosh!
And as soon as you hit him once, and he's like, you don't know what you're doing. You hit him again, he's like, you really want to do this? If you hit him a third time, then he gets up and starts trying to kill you. And even if you die, when you respawn, he'll still try and kill you if you come close to where he is. So yeah, we kind of burned that bridge.
Yeah, I'd say.
And I've been told he sells you some useful items that we can't get for a while anywhere else. So, there we are.
Wow.
But, you know, we're still trucking along. We're learning things that are good to know about Dark Souls. We still can't figure out what most of the monsters are that aren't obvious. Like, there's this one monster below this smithy, like this blacksmith guy, and it has like this weird well, first off, it only has one leg and two arms, and then it has like this weird like circle thing attached to its back, and then it doesn't have a head, and instead of a head it has like this weird plaque with runes on it.
Okay.
But it's like this oval shape, and everything in Dark Souls is kind of dark, so we kind of thought it was like a vagina face monster.
Obviously.
So we just started calling it vagina face, and then once we found out it just had like a plaque instead of a head, we still called it vagina face because the name stuck.
Right. Well, vagina face.
Yep, vagina face. Yeah. So on that note, you also have a YouTube channel with a 12-year-old boy puppet that's very immature and would probably call things vagina face.
Oh, definitely. I could totally see Cody talking about vagina face.
Because he's already talked about dinosaurs with boobies.
He did talk about dinosaurs with boobies, so I might have to use vagina face at some point. Although he doesn't necessarily even know what a vagina is, so that could be the problem.
Probably hasn't had his health class yet.
No. Yeah, I did my first episode of Cody's Take, which he took on Far Cry 3, which I thought was kind of a fun idea for a game for him to talk about. Although, he's pretty much going to talk about whatever game I'm playing at the moment, so, and I'm not going to stop playing, like, Journey, just because, you know, Cody's now in my life.
What a coincidence that he talks about the games that you play.
Yeah, well, we play them together, because he's 12, so, oh my gosh, the more I talk about this damn puppet, the more crazy I sound. like, I seriously think my family thinks that I'm crazy. You know, I come home from San Francisco all defeated and, you know, my dreams did not come true, and now I have a puppet. Yeah, that Mel Gibson movie was actually about me. No, so I don't know. I thought his first video was funny. This week he's going to be talking about Temple Run 2 because Ooh. I'm addicted to that. Yeah, I will say, using a puppet is not as easy as it might seem.
Really?
I have a great respect, much greater respect for puppeteers now than I ever did before.
Well, you know what they say, Daniel.
No, I don't know what they say.
Mo' puppets, mo' problems.
That's true. And if Cody works out, I have ideas for other puppets.
More puppets? You're going to be like the Jim Henson of vulgar video game puppets.
Yep. No, it's not easy to remember to move his mouth when I'm talking. And I tried doing a couple takes with me and him and like having a conversation. I mean, I would have really seemed crazy then. and it was just way too us that my lips were moving. When you're watching someone like who's that comedian that does them?
Something Dunham.
Yeah, Jeff Dunham.
Yeah.
When you're watching someone like that, he's on a stage. He's not right up in your face. So if his lips move a little bit, it's not so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So on camera at the computer, it was just way too obvious that my lips were moving too, and it looked like the both of us were talking, but really it was just supposed to be him. So it worked out just to have him on the camera instead of me and him.
Well, maybe when you become a YouTube sensation, you can release that in the bonus features of the DVD.
It was not something. Good. But yeah, maybe.
That's like in an episode of DigiBros that Corey and I recorded. We ended up losing all of the video footage of us running around trying to figure out what to do in Overblood. It's an entire episode.
Oh, man.
But we didn't know what to do for that entire episode, so we were just running around trying to figure things out. And in the last 5 minutes of the video, we figured it out. But we just have we have the audio track of just us making terrible jokes about not knowing what to do and how crappy the game is for an hour. So maybe awesome. That will be a bonus feature someday.
Maybe, there you go. So yeah, I'm enjoying the whole YouTube thing, exploring that.
Yeah, it's a fun new adventure, isn't it?
It is. Tis indeed. What else have you been up to? What else is new in the world of Jack?
Not a whole lot else is terribly new. I've been trying to figure out what games I'm most excited for that are coming out in 2013. I think it's probably The Last of Us that I'm most excited for.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm extremely excited for that game. That and Bioshock Infinite, I'm still excited for.
Me too, but I think for me, The Last of Us has just a little bit of an edge on that, on Bioshock Infinite, just because the first Bioshock was so good, I can't, realistically see a sequel to it being just as good.
Mm.
You know?
I could see it being better, but yep.
I mean, it could be better. It's just,
Yeah.
I don't know. When it came out...
It could go either way.
Yeah. So we'll see. I have a little bit more hesitation about Bioshock Infinite than I do about The Last of Us, where I'm just like, a new IP, they can do whatever they want with it, I'm excited about it.
Right, I agree with that. I have an interesting observation about two news items from today.
All right.
So we found out today that Dead Space 3 will have microtransactions, correct?
Correct.
For weapons and stuff like that.
Yep.
And everybody on the internet became completely offended, right into the White House and all this other stuff.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't write to the White House for that, but they could have.
Yep.
And however, on the same day, news like The Last of Us coming out with two special editions came out. And special editions are nothing new. They've been around for a long time. Game makers have done them forever.
Yeah, I think they're awesome.
Yeah, a lot of people love them. People love them. Here's the thing. What's the difference between buying a $150 special edition that gives you upgrades and boosts for multiplayer and all this other stuff, and spending extra on that? And what's the difference between that and microtransactions where you can do the same thing in a game like Dead Space 3?
I would say there's not much of a difference. I think my personal take on it is that I think people get upset because they see microtransactions as... They view it, whether or not it is accurate or not. People view microtransactions as a way of developers squeezing more money out of a game for things that should have been free in the first place, in their opinions.
Right.
Whereas a special edition, they view as spending, as voluntarily spending more money to get extra things. And
microtransactions are voluntarily, if done correctly, which Dead Space 3s look like they're being done correctly, that's the thing that people don't seem to get. If done correctly, then that's exactly the same thing. You're just paying to get more stuff earlier. Then you're paying to get it rather than having to actually play longer to get it. It's basically paying to cheat, kind of, to level up faster. And it's just, I don't see the difference. And except that microtransactions are actually a lot cheaper.
And they're a lot more flexible. If you don't want, maybe everything in a special edition isn't something you'd necessarily want or use.
Right.
Whereas a microtransaction, you can still get the stuff you want without paying for extra things that you don't want.
Right.
So I fully see that side of it. But I also think that in the process of people trying to find the way to do microtransactions right, in your words,
yep,
a lot of people have also gotten microtransactions wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's true.
I think that's why a lot of people are hesitant whenever they see microtransactions as something that a new video game coming out might have. And I find that understandable as well. But I also think that at the point we are, where microtransactions have been a thing for years, I don't think it's something that's so outrageous that people should get really upset about it. Especially before the game comes out, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. You don't know how exactly they're going to be used. So, stop getting your panties all in a bunch.
Speaking of getting your panties all in a bunch...
Vagina face.
No. I also read today that, quote-unquote, fans of Devil May Cry petitioned the White House to get it removed from store shelves, the reboot removed from store shelves. That is one of the most ridiculous things I've heard since somebody filed a complaint with the FCC
about
Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
Yep. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, completely.
I'm sorry, but petitioning President of the United States to intervene because a few fans didn't like the way Dante looked.
They wouldn't build the Death Star. Why? What makes us think they would fix Devil May Cry? And that's,
to be fair though, the Death Star was estimated to cost like $150 quintillion. So
that a measurement of
that's the actual estimated cost of building a Death Star.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a little bit more legitimacy behind not wanting to spend $150 quintillion than
true
disliking a video game, so everyone else shouldn't be able to play it either.
I suppose. Well, I don't know if you know this, Jack, but Devil May Cry, the original Devil May Cry, and not Devil May Cry 3, as much as I like that game too, it's not my favorite in the series. My favorite is Devil May Cry 1. Like, back when I, maybe it's just sentimental value, but back when I was in Boston, I had just gotten out of high school, and I was living on my own in Boston with, well, on my own with seven roommates in this rundown, rat-infested apartment. And I played Devil May Cry 1, like, all the time. I played it about 12 times through. And I absolutely love that game to this day. And there is a special place in my heart for the silver-haired devil that is Dante. And seeing him redone with dark hair at first did kind of bother me just slightly. But, you know, really, it's not enough to get so upset about.
It's not like he's a super iconic character.
Exactly.
Like if Mario suddenly was hyper-realistic for whatever reason,
yeah,
in the next Mario game, they decided to reboot him as a gritty plumber in New York. That would be something to get upset about, I think. But
Anthony Hopkins.
But Dante has never been super that iconic to me, where messing with his image would greatly change the game.
Well, I guess here's the thing. Back in the day when I absolutely loved that game, I thought he was iconic. As time has gone on, I've kind of realized those were rose-colored glasses, because he's really a dumb character. He's really, I mean, he's just full of stupid one-liners and campy dialogue. And apparently, like, from what I've seen of the new DMC, despite the lack of white hair, they've pretty much captured that. And if that's what makes Dante Dante, then it seems to me like he's still intact. So I haven't played it. I want to play it, but yeah, I have no problem with it.
What are your thoughts on Devil May Cry 2?
An abomination.
What makes that game so bad?
I've never been so upset when I spent $60 on a game as when I brought that home.
Is that the one that starts with him in a bar? Or is that the first
one? No, that's the first one.
Okay, then I've played the first one.
Yeah.
I don't think I've played the second one.
He's eating pizza and Trish comes in and stabs him with a sword and he just pulls it out of himself. Yeah, no, Devil May Cry 2, there were so many things wrong with that game. The character design was interesting enough, just like the first one, and your moveset was pretty much the same as the first one. It didn't make any kind of advancements in that area. And the weapons and everything like that were pretty much the same. Like, it felt like a cheap cash-in, which at this point in time, like, we would be completely outraged about, and it felt like that. And I think my biggest complaint is that everything just felt sloppy. The boss fights were just terrible. They were just really just, they weren't memorable, they weren't exciting, they were just dull and boring. And the camera, I'd say the biggest problem was the camera. I didn't play it enough, because what I played of it, like, I played through, like, the first half and just hated it, and hated myself for buying it. And, so it's really hard for me to describe exactly why it's so bad. It's bad. It's not good at all.
Okay.
But, yeah. Mainly the camera and the boss fights were my main problems with it. Yep.
So do you think maybe we should petition the White House to get rid of Devil May Cry 2?
I'd say that is a petition I could get behind.
All right.
Yep. Let's do it. So, this week I did my first show with Cody, and we talked about how immature he is. He was talking about boobies a lot on that episode. And, speaking of boobies, there was a Dead Island special edition, announcement this past week. Well, what do you think of Dead Island boob editions, Jack?
I can't say I'm surprised. Deep Silver announced, basically they announced the UK special edition of Dead Island Riptide would include a severed female bikini-clad buxom torso.
Now, to be fair, this is only in the UK.
This is only in the UK, to be fair.
For whatever that's worth.
You know, my first reaction to hearing that was just, why?
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, it got them a lot of publicity.
Yep, it did.
But on the other hand, it's just dumb. Who wants to proudly display a dismembered woman's corpse, even if it's plastic, in their living room?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Who does that appeal to?
I wouldn't put that next to my Skyrim dragon, which I wish I had.
Yeah.
I wish I had a Skyrim.
Everyone wishes they had a Skyrim dragon.
Yeah, no, not at all. Did you read my article about it, my editorial, my take on it?
I did. I thought it was very reasonable.
It just kind of struck me as strange. If for anybody who didn't read it, you should go to thegameeffect.com and read it. But I kind of came up with the idea, and I think it's fairly right, in my opinion, that we always feel like video game marketers are patronizing us. And by us, I mean people like you and me, Jack, who are of age to play those kind of games, Dead Island and whatnot. We're mature adults, and we don't need to watch a commercial that says, you know, your mom will hate Dead Space 2 for us to understand why we'll like Dead Space 2. And thusly, we don't need to watch a, we don't need to see a bloody female booby torso, to get us interested in Dead Island. You know, and so I kind of came to the conclusion that maybe video game marketers aren't trying to patronize us, and that they actually do know what they're doing, and that maybe they're actually trying to attract a more immature audience, such as younger kids, who shouldn't be marketed to for those kind of games.
And, you know, I think that's a very reasonable assumption. And not something that people should just dismiss out of hand. I mean, the I think a good example of it might be in cigarette advertisements.
Right.
Before it was illegal to market cigarettes on, or yeah, it's illegal to market cigarettes on television, right?
Yes.
Okay. So they made it illegal to do that, but before they did that, there were advertisements that clearly targeted children who...
Joe Camel.
Exactly, Joe Camel. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yep.
But targeted children to get them to start smoking and think that it was cool and fun. Even though they're children and shouldn't be smoking.
Right.
And well, I think a good parallel can be drawn to video games today. I mean, even if a game is rated M, as we've seen from, you know, Halo and Call of Duty, even if a game is rated M, children can still pester their parents to buy them violent video games.
Exactly.
And that is something that parents need to be educated about.
Yeah. And I think, like, that's not to say anything against the people making the games.
Right.
I think, you know, I have a conversation I had with my dad, like, I had a really intense conversation with him and my mom about violence in video games, and I was trying so earnestly to convince them that the people making violent video games were making them for people like me and not for 12-year-olds, and he just was not convinced, and I think part of that is just that he still thinks of video games as a kid's thing and just thinks I'm silly for still playing them. And then another part of that is that maybe he just believes that, you know, he was alive when Joe Camel was all over TV and all that stuff, so he knows how marketing can be. And it's not to say anything against people who make those games, because I know and respect a few people who do, but the people who market those kind of games, I can't necessarily say the same about them. And their job is to market it. And if they can somehow increase their market by attracting younger players, they're going to do that.
Yeah. I mean, that's their job.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not to say they're crass enough to just put out advertisements on Cartoon Network. They're not going to do that. They have to find trickier, more creative ways to appeal to that audience. And this kind of thing just screams to me that that's what they're trying to do. So,
yep.
And that's shameful. But anyway, that's my soapbox. Yep.
Well, there you have it.
So I brought up Dead Space 2 in that rant.
You did.
I did, and mentioned Dead Space 3 earlier, but I played the Dead Space 3 demo this evening.
Ooh, do tell.
Do tell. Well, it's pretty much everything we've seen before. If you've watched, like, E3 stuff, that was all just an abbreviated version of this demo. But if you've seen, like, the scene where Isaac and his partner, co-op partner, are running around this giant drill that's coming at them, and there's necromorphs spawning all around them, and they're fighting off the necromorphs and dodging this drill, that demo. And it's extremely intense. I played it alone. I didn't play co-op. And I liked it. I liked it a lot. I got done with that scene, and I was just like, whew, my heart was pounding. And I wanted to applaud for Visceral because it was a good scene. I enjoyed it a lot.
Do you feel like it's still survival horror, or is it more action adventure with kind of a horror?
No, it's still scary. It's scary in the Dead Space kind of way.
Okay.
It's not, like, the more I play games like Dead Space, the less scared I am of them.
Uh-huh.
Like, a game like, you know, everybody, it's well documented that Slender scared the pants off of me. So Slender and game like Amnesia, those games are genuinely terrifying to me. But Dead Space still gets me on edge, and I'd say it was still as scary as Dead Space 2 was in most parts. What scares me about Dead Space is just the grotesque creatures, and like one of the scariest parts of Dead Space 2 for me was those raptor things, because they were like the raptors in Jurassic Park, and they would just go around a corner and you'd never know when they were coming at you until they were screaming and barreling towards you and you could have no way to get out of the way. So it's just the tension that I find unnerving about Dead Space, and Dead Space 3, at least in that demo, definitely still has that, I would say.
Okay. Yeah, for me, I don't know, it's hard, just in my mind, it's hard to transfer a horror, a game in the horror genre, to have multiple iterations with the same character, and
yeah.
Keep the same elements that made the first one scary.
Right.
If that makes sense. Because, to me, the first one was scary because you're wandering around this completely isolated ship in the middle of space with tons of monsters that want to kill you that are, you know, gross perversions of dead human tissue. And the isolation and the sound design of just, like, the ambient noises going on, and the lighting was all just perfect to me.
Yep.
Forever, the original Dead Space is one of my favorite horror games ever.
That opening. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And to me, when a horror game takes that same character that's already been through this horrific scenario,
yep,
and puts them through basically the same scenario, I mean, with a few differences, I mean, the horror of it is diluted a little bit.
Definitely.
And, you know, that's fine, because the gameplay in Dead Space is really fun and satisfying to me as well. But it seems to me that if this person has already been through one just completely horrific, life-shattering scenario, they wouldn't go into the same scenario, you know?
He has no choice.
I know he has no choice, but it's just kind of like, wouldn't you get, like, why are you, I don't know, why are you fighting these things?
It's not about Isaac, it's about you being scared, you know? I mean, I'm sure Isaac is more and more terrified because he's actually in it, but are you scared as the player? And, Dead Space 2 wasn't nearly as scary as the first one for me. But, and probably Dead Space 3 won't be either, but as far as tension, it definitely had it. It was good. And like you said, that excellent gameplay that Dead Space has, it's just spot on. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
And it's still there in Dead Space 3. Would I love to see them do something different? Yeah. But that's always asking way too much nowadays in video games.
Well, because it's just, so can you explain to me, like, what the setup is for Dead Space 3? Like, do we know why they're on the ice planet?
does it matter? I don't know. Yeah, there's some explanation to it, but they don't go over it in the demo, and I've seen it somewhere else, but I just can't remember it at the moment. Like, they crash or something. They crash, because Isaac is like a magnet for planets that have markers and necromorphs on them. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they crash on that ice planet, and that's why they're there. Because when you crash in space, you always land on a planet somewhere, Jack. Didn't you know that?
Of course, because the majority of space is made up of planets.
Right. Right. Yep. Yeah, so, anyway, what I played of Dead Space 3 was fun. And also exciting news, I sent in my registration form for Media Badge at PAX East this year.
Very nice.
Yeah, so that hopefully I will be able to do all that again this year. That was awesome.
Cool.
So yeah, I did that today.
In other scandals, I suppose you could say.
Uh-huh.
Jonathan Colton, the guy that is responsible for the Portal song.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Still Alive.
And the other one in 2 also.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He got ripped off by Glee.
He did.
He did. So I've been a big fan of his for a while. And yeah, a long time ago, when he quit his, he used to be a computer programmer. When he quit his programming job, he started this music project called Thing a Week, where he would create a new song every single week and release it. And okay, one of the songs he did was a cover version of Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back. And it's an acoustic, like, vocal cover, and it's completely different from the original song, but it uses the same lyrics, and it's just brilliant. It's really fun to listen to, and really well done.
Yeah.
Well,
so, to peek behind the curtain a little bit here, I like to act like we haven't actually talked about these things before we go on air and record episodes, but I was talking to Jack before the show and listened to this and the Glee song version of it before the show, and yeah, they're extremely similar.
They're basically the same. Glee rips it off in an upcoming episode.
Yep.
And Fox has neither confirmed nor denied it, but they had the song on iTunes for a while, apparently, and took it down. But they only took it down from the American iTunes store. It last I heard, it's still available in foreign countries. But basically, the two songs are exactly the same, just with Glee voices, and they even keep the small lyrical changes that Jonathan Colton put into the song. Where at one point he says his name, sort of. He says Johnny C. Johnny C's in trouble looking for a piece of that bubble. and they keep that in the song, and they keep this duck sound effect that he uses to bleep out part of the song. And
it's the same banjo, it's the same background vocals. It's absurd how close it is, and he didn't know anything about it.
Yep, they never asked him or told him anything, or asked for his permission. And it's really just one of the most blatant rip-offs I've ever seen ever.
Yeah.
So we'll put a link in the blog so you can listen to it and decide for yourself, but it's a ripoff.
It, without doubt, it's awful. That's not the first time I've heard of Glee ripping people off. And a lot of people rip a lot of people off. One Direction ripped off The Clash this year with their song, one of their songs. Oh, they ripped them off big time. But
people at least change some things when they do that. It's not the exact same song.
Right. This is exact. I don't know if you know, but like, did he have the rights to cover that song? Did he sell it?
I think he bought some sort of legal rights to the song. I'm not exactly sure because I'm not someone who understands legal stuff very well. But there's a huge thing on his personal website. You can go there and read about it in detail.
That's insane.
But it's awful.
It's sad. And it's sad when it happens to one of our own.
Yep. That. What about you, Daniel? Do you have any scandals or happenings going on? Any games you might have played with significant others?
Oh, right. Yeah. This weekend, so slowly but surely, I've kind of transformed my on-again, off-again girlfriend, Taryn, into a gamer. She started with her iPad and would play, you know, the typical iPad fare on there and got into Plants vs. Zombies and and Kingdom Rush and tower defense stuff like that.
Yeah.
Really like that kind of stuff. And I've eventually gotten her into at least watching me play other games. She really enjoys watching Uncharted, and she's fascinated by Mass Effect. But she's never really tried to play that many of those kind of games. And this weekend, it's not quite on the same level as like an Uncharted as far as, you know, difficulty, learning curve, and that stuff. But she played The Walking Dead through the first season through, episode 1 through 5. And I didn't like tell her to play them all at the same time. She just didn't want to stop. She just got started and loved it. And
that's fantastic.
She was screaming, and at one point I fell asleep while she was playing, and I was just taking a nap, and then something happened and she screamed and scared the crap out of me. she really loved it, and she didn't cry at the end because I think she was just anticipating it because I told her that I had cried. Either that or she's more of a man than I am.
She's a robot, Daniel.
Maybe she's a robot. Maybe that's it. You're right. But yeah, it was neat to watch someone else play through it. So that was fun. And she's on to Limbo now. She wants to play Limbo.
That's a little bit more harder core and less mainstream.
Yep, a little bit. But she was just going through the games I had on my Xbox. And she did play Journey with me a while ago, so I will say that. But she was just going through the games I had on my Xbox and was like, what's Limbo? I want to play Limbo. So she did it. And she got past the spider, and now she's at the kids that are trying to kill you.
Baby steps. Baby steps.
Interesting. And she's gone to the past two PAX East's with me, and she'll go to this one. So,
cool.
Yeah. That was fun. And I'm currently obsessed with Temple Run 2. Loving that game. If you have an iPhone or iPad, it's excellent. It's a lot better than the original Temple Run, which I just found way too repetitive. This one at least has a little bit more...
Variety,
yeah. You're swinging down zip lines and going through mine carts. And when you're going on the mine cart, it's a lot more curvy. It's just a completely different experience than other things. And I've heard that there's waterfalls, but I haven't gotten to the waterfalls yet. Which is weird, because my high score is just shy of 2 million.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty proud of that. So I don't know how freaking high I need to get to waterfalls, but
does it just keep going on forever?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So there's not like an end?
No.
Okay.
Nope, there isn't.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, you level up as you go. So I don't know. It's good.
Did you hear about Epic Mickey 2?
I did, only because you told me about it.
That's true, I did tell you about it, but I'm going to tell you about it again.
Alright.
It only sold 270,000 units, which is not a whole lot. Especially considering the original Epic Mickey sold 1.3 million, and it was on just the Wii. And Epic Mickey 2 is cross-platform, so it was on everything, and it sold quite a bit less.
Why do you think that is?
I think it was a sequel that no one really wanted or needed, and I think that maybe if the first Epic Mickey had been really good, it was a solid game, but it wasn't like a fantastic, great game. Maybe if it had been a fantastic, great game, Epic Mickey 2 would have sold better, but I think nobody really wanted it in the first place.
Yeah. Well, let's think about who's the audience for that game?
Probably younger people and people who really like Disney.
Right. Probably, like, families, right? I mean,
it's a pretty family oriented game.
It's got Mickey Mouse on it.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of like Mario.
Right.
And it kind of plays like Mario Galaxy in some ways, right?
Okay. Yeah.
I'd say. Probably.
Seems fair.
So in my opinion, it doesn't matter how good that game is. And Epic Mickey 1 was not without several flaws. But I've tried playing games like Mario Galaxy with my nephew, who's 6, and plays a lot of games. He plays Lego, everything, every Lego game, basically, you can think of, and Skylanders, and he loves them. But he also has Mario Galaxy and never plays it. And he plays New Super Mario Bros. And likes that too. And he likes the Mario sports games and Wii Sports and stuff like that. Mario Olympics. Like, he loves those games, but does not like Mario Galaxy.
Why?
Because he's not very good at it.
Okay.
It's a bit too complicated for him.
Alright.
And I feel like games like Skylanders are a little more simple. You're just mashing buttons, even though he still kind of stinks at that game too. But it's like a
Do you just sit there and play games with him and critique his gameplay?
Oh my god, it's so freaking annoying playing video games with him. It is so annoying. But and Rayman, he likes Rayman too. But he's just not that great at games, just because he's a kid and
yeah.
he's still, you know, he's still developing those hand-eye skills and all that stuff. And a game like Epic Mickey, I feel like, is a bit complicated for a kid that age. But that's the audience for it. So my guess is, like, my nephew played Epic Mickey very briefly and did not really, it didn't appeal to him.
Okay.
Because I had it. So, I traded it in eventually, but, he played it a little bit and he couldn't do it. Like, you have to babysit the camera in that game, which is one of the biggest problems I had with it. And you just switching back and forth between the different, paints and stuff. Was really something that he had trouble with. And so my guess is that families like my brothers who see Epic Mickey and saw their kids playing it and saw that their kids didn't really get it and just didn't really love it, go buy Epic Mickey 2 because it really wasn't that great. That's my opinion.
That's fair enough.
But
so it kind of fell... It kind of fell in between, like, a demographic gap where people who wanted to play it were... It was a little bit too hard for them, and the people who didn't really want to play it, who could have played it, didn't really want to play it.
Yeah.
And then that just reflected negatively on the second one. I think that's good insight. I think that's good insight there, Daniel. Good job.
Yeah, I'm full of that.
You're like the Sherlock Holmes of video games.
I like it. That works. So, I feel like we should move on to our jacked up indie show.
Shout outs.
Alright, maybe that's not quite as good without Jeremy.
Yeah. But. Really takes three to do that.
Yeah, we gotta get the harmony going with the three of us. Yeah. So what's your shout out this week?
My shout out this week goes to Saint for his "I'm not one of your statistics" ellipses blog, where basically. I'm sure people are sick of hearing about video games and gun violence, but he writes a really great blog about video games and gun violence, and he talks about growing up playing video games and being in a violent household, and about how people have just become so reactionary against anything that might conceivably be violent, that it's become just ridiculous. And as one of his examples, he cites an incident where a 5-year-old girl was suspended from kindergarten because she brought to school a this little handheld bubble machine, Hello Kitty bubble machine, that was vaguely shaped like a gun, and then talked with a classmate, and they were talking about how they were going to shoot each other with bubbles. And she was suspended for 10 days and had to undergo a psychological evaluation. It was later reduced to 2 days, but still. That's just ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
You know, he goes on to explain that, you know, using video games as a scapegoat for violent happenings is not video games' fault. That's just poor parenting in action, and parents need to teach their children what's right and what's wrong. And even if you have guns in the house, even if you have guns in the house, there's a big difference between a video games and an actual gun. And playing video games does not make you somehow say, oh, it's all right to take an actual gun and go shoot people.
Right.
I mean, he says it a lot more eloquently than that. and it's a lot, you know, he has a whole blog there that's a lot, it's very good to read, which is why I'm telling you to go read it.
go read it. Instead of listening to Jack fumble his way around trying, I mean, I'm sorry, Jack, you did a great job.
No, I always fumble my way around.
I'm going to fumble around now. Speaking of boobies.
Turn on a light.
Wait, jeez. I mean, right. I will turn on a light. My shout out this week goes to Jolt the Cynic for a blog about sports games. That's titled A Blog About Sports Games.
Oh.
And it kind of delves into why, well, he starts by saying, you know, there's people have complained about a lack of sports game blogs on Game Informer, which he addresses by basically saying people who play games a lot have kind of moved past sports games. And I kind of see what he's talking about. Like, you know, people who play video games a lot, like enough to write about them online or read blogs about them online, they've seen everything and they want the newest thing and they want to see what's coming next and what's cool next. And so we always want to see the next big video game innovation, and not you're not getting that very often from sports games.
Yeah, sports games are kind of their own little weird bubble of video game.
We've talked about them before.
Yeah.
And, you know, say what you will, they don't evolve so much from year to year that, you know, you feel a need to play the new Madden to see what is new in Madden. You know what's going to be new in Madden. There's going to be a couple new enhancements to the season and the career mode, and there's going to be new players and teams, and that's the gist of it. So he kind of says that, and I personally agree with him. I think I'm trying really, really hard to understand the appeal of sports games. That is something that I struggle with, because I come from a family where we watch sports a lot. This weekend was all UConn basketball and Patriots football. That was it. And The Walking Dead with Taryn when we weren't watching that. So, you know, when I'm not around my family, I don't watch sports. But when I'm with my family, I'm wearing Husky blue and shouting at the TV with the best of them. So it's really weird that I don't like sports games, but I don't.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I won't judge you
much. This is a no judgment zone, Jack.
Yeah.
I almost called you Zach.
That's okay. A lot of people do that for some reason. It's either Zach or Jake. Whenever I tell people my name for the first time, usually the next time they see me and have to use my name, they say Zach or Jake. I don't really get it, but
my little nephew, 2 years old, he's a little freaking genius, really. I won't go into why he's a genius. He's just so smart. He's talking a lot, and he renames his, like, his toys, different things, and he named one of them, his name's Jackson, and he renamed one of his toys Zaxxon Bones.
Zaxxon Bones.
Zacks and Bones. I think that's a pretty awesome name.
I think I would totally play a game that had a main character named Zacks and Bones.
Right? Me too. Zacks and Bones.
Maybe it could be the spiritual successor to Grim Fandango.
It would be so perfect.
That'd be awesome.
Yep. Speaking of that, I want to play The Cave.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
Just to see what Double Fine's been up to with all that hoopla over that game.
Yeah, for sure. I've heard mixed reviews, but I still want to play it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm having trouble justifying buying games right now, just after, even though it's almost a month after Christmas.
Yeah.
And that, well, it is a month after Christmas, almost.
Me too.
I still haven't gotten around to playing Halo 4, Dishonored, or Max Payne 3, which is prime. I have them all sitting, ready to be played, and I haven't played them yet, so.
Oh, man.
I'm not a good gamer.
That's the thing. I really want to play The Cave. I really want to play DMC. I really want to play Ni No Kuni. But I'm still in the middle of Assassin's Creed 3, and I have finally finished, Far Cry 3, but I still have Assassin's Creed 3, and I really want to, since I'm writing this book about 38 Studios, I really want to get some good playing time in with Kingdoms of Amalur. So I have those two games to play.
Yep. I'm just going to tell you right now, if you're committed to playing through Kingdoms of Amalur,
yeah,
it gets to be a slog later on, if you haven't hit that already. It gets hard to play.
Because I'm focusing on AC3 right now, and then I'll move on to that. So
just brace yourself for that.
All right, well, that's good to know. At that point, when that happens, maybe I will just say, hey, I played it enough. So, yeah.
But do you think maybe that's just kind of the nature of the beast for, people who want to write about video games?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I guess you reach the point where you don't have enough time to play everything that you want.
Yeah. Well, you worked at Game Informer. I mean, how do those guys deal with it? Because I imagine, you're there all day. I don't know what their schedule is like when they're at work, mm-hmm. How much time they spend at work playing games, or if they only do it for review or on preview. But, when I go home after something like that, I wouldn't... Playing a video game is not necessarily going to be the first thing that I would want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if I have a family and stuff.
Well, generally they play the review copies at work because only certain types of systems can play review copies.
Debug systems.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's just
but
something...
But then how do you catch up on the games that you've missed, that you weren't reviewing or whatever, It's just...
Yeah, they have the vault.
Yeah.
So they can go back... Pretty much any time.
True.
True
debt.
But, I don't know, it's just one of those things where you have to really weigh how much you want to play each game that comes out.
Yeah.
And I also just picked up Dragon's Dogma, because people have been talking about that game. So I need to stop buying games for a while. Which is really hard, especially when The Last of Us and Bioshock Infinite and Ni No Kuni are all coming out or just came out.
Yep.
I will probably, when the new Fire Emblem game comes out, I'm really excited for that. I'll probably have to get that. So... This is definitely a case of first world problems.
Yep. Certainly. I know. I've been doing that, though. I've been just going through, like, the calendar and looking at all the options coming out. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't really need to play Dead Space 3, but I really want to play Tomb Raider. So I'll get Tomb Raider and save Dead Space 3 for another time. It's like, oh, my gosh.
All right. I think maybe it's time to wrap this baby up.
I think so, too. All right. That was an interesting... I think that was a pretty darn good episode of the Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show, sans Mojo.
We miss you. Come back.
We kind of... No. Okay, yeah, we miss you. Go support people like Jonathan Colton, who make good, unique music. And, you know, I'm Indy Jones. You stay classy, Game Informer.
Thanks for stopping by. I love Mojo. Just doesn't work.
You had to do things. All right. Oops.
Just doesn't work without him.
No, it doesn't. We love you, Mojo.
Come back.
LA face with the Oakland booty. I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Take your pretty picture. My homeboys tried to warn me, but that butt you got makes me so horny. Ooh, rumpled smooth skin. You say you wanna get in my pants, but use me, cause you ain't that average groupie. I've seen them dancing to hell with romancing, cause she's sweat. Magazines saying black butts are the thing. Take the average black man and ask him that. She gotta pack much back. So fellas, yeah, fellas, yeah, has your girlfriend got the butt? Tell her to shake it, shake it, shake that healthy butt, baby. Johnny C's in trouble, begging for a piece of that bubble. So I'm looking at black videos, knock me bimbos, walking like hoes. You can have them bimbos, I'll keep my women like Flojo. A word to the Pixel sisters, I wanna get with ya. I won't cuss or hit ya, but I gotta be straight when I say I wanna. Like a hit it and quit, and I'd rather stay and play, cause I'm long and I'm strong and I'm down to get the friction on. So ladies, yeah, ladies, yeah, if you wanna roll in my Mercedes, yeah, then turn around and stick it out. Even white boys got to shout, baby. Baby, God, bless.
6. Maybe if she's 5'3".
So your girlfriend rolls a Honda, playing workout tapes by Fonda. But Fonda ain't got a motor in the back of her Honda. My anaconda don't want none, unless you have got buns. And you can do side bends or sit-ups, but please don't lose that butt. Some brothers wanna play that hard role and tell you that the butt ain't gold. So they toss it and they leave it, and I pull up quick to retrieve it. So Cosmo says you're fat. Well, I ain't down with that, cause your waist is small and your curves are kicking. And I'm thinking about sticking to the beanpole dames and the magazines. You ain't it, Miss Thing. Give me a sister, I can't resist her. Red beans and rice didn't miss her. Some knucklehead tried to diss, cause his girls are on my list. He had game, but he chose to hit 'em, and I pulled.